What was that? I said, welcome to episode 22 of My Butt.
Am I plugged in?
Congratulations, that was recorded.
I knew. I saw him click. I knew he turned it on.
Am I plugged in now?
Yes, you
are. Right, we're past the safety mark.
All right, yeah. Let's do this.
No.
Who are you?
We already said episode 22.
Episode 22 of whose butt?
My butt. Nathan's butt.
Nathan's butt. Welcome to Nathan's butt, episode 22. This is I am Brian. I play Crix.
This is Kitty. I play Circle.
This is Jeremy. I play Legion and Rhett.
This is Jeff, and I play Trollbloods.
This is Andy. I play Trollbloods.
And Menoth and Legion.
I play Troll.
You've been pretty troll monogamous recently.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the menu and trying to decide if I want to try a different appetizer, but I'm still sticking with trolls.
Yeah, well, my scoring's back in the shelf, so I'm painting it now.
So. Oh, are you? Because you did bust out the Makeda 3X.
Oh, yeah, I played it for a month, and now I need to paint. And hopefully I'll have it done in time for some events.
Okay.
Which I wanted to bring up first, upcoming events.
Dun, 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 dun.
Who's that guy in the green shirt, though?
Yeah, I don't think he actually got an introduction.
No.
The show's just
I said Nathan.
Well, the show's about your butt. No. Well, you didn't say what you play, other than apparently your butt.
Play with my butt, like bongos.
Like Ace Ventura?
No.
So there's a YouTube out there of a guy playing butts like bongos, and it's actually pretty good.
What?
Seen it, right?
Was it his own butt?
No, it was like a bunch of girls lined up, like 10 girls with like good.
How have I not
over.
Seen this video?
I don't.
How did he get
much.
Them to agree to this?
Also that.
It's like the video of the guy in Russia just grabbing like 1,000 pair of breasts.
Exactly like that.
Well, not exactly, that's okay in Russia.
Yeah,
it's a law.
Was that just something you find on like Craigslist? It was like one two pet. 1,000 breasts.
He was just like in there. It was in like their version of Times Square. Was just walking around saying, "Hey, I'm videotaping myself touching boobs. Can I grab your breasts?" And they're like, "Okay." And he just grabbed their breasts. And the weird thing is, like, they'd agree and they'd stand there and grab their breasts. And then some of them would like suddenly get shocked and slap him. And it's like, did you think he wasn't going to do the thing you just told him to do?
Probably not.
Well, there you go. And who are you?
I said it for 50 times.
Well, they didn't believe me the first time.
I'm Jim.
All right, hey.
All right, Jim.
All right. So back to upcoming events.
Events.
You don't
events,
look like Jim.
So first event that's coming up is next weekend, Madison, on the 18th. We have a 50-point steamroller, standard two-list format, very generic. I think there's currently 14-ish signed up. Probably get 16 to 20. That's our guess. That's in Madison. Beginning of June, there is a big one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. War Machine Weekend alternate qualifier spot. So it's an alternate qualifier spot, but last year I think two people in the Invitational did come from alternate qualifiers.
Yep,
I believe. And they pull from the qualifiers that have the most people first. And Chicago has a pretty large med, and there's people from other areas coming. So I think whoever wins that spot, if there's going to be a free spot, has a high probability of getting into the Invitational.
I would agree.
It's an assumption, but I think you got a fair odds. So it's June 8th at the Dice Dojo in Chicago. So that should be a good event. I'm going. Jeremy's going.
Yep.
Are you going to go, Nathan? Are you not sure yet? Too far out to know?
Maybe. I'm moving on the first, and
so
then
I knew it was close to the beginning, so I wasn't sure if he was free or not.
Maybe.
We'll make Jeff come along.
I've been trying to actually get my schedule in line so I can do more of that kind
and
of
Andy
stuff.
Likes
and
Chicago.
By more, you mean any?
Andy.
Yes.
Have Andy you ever done a tournament?
Yes, I have a Trollblood coin at home.
There you go.
Well done.
Yes.
Was it a local Madison tournament, I'm assuming?
It was.
Oh. And were you the only Trollblood player?
No, there was another one.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Are you coming to the 18th?
I might.
Sweet. Whoa. We have a Theme Force one coming up locally, too, don't we?
June, or Andy, are you thinking of going to Chicago one? You haven't posted either if you're going to go or not.
It really depends after how I feel after lock and load.
I suppose you are going to be there at the first.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you're the one solo Madison per person this year going. Next year we'll have more. Yes.
It depends how much convergence I have to bring back from lock and load.
All
as
of
well.
It.
All of the convergence.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can fit that much in my suitcase.
If you ninja shop for me and get me everything they'll let you get, you can keep the book. I'll buy you the book.
Nice. So then we have one other event in Madison, June 18th. We have a local, we're doing a Theme Force event, as Nathan mentioned. 50 points, Theme Force, I believe, theme or tier 2 or higher is the requirement.
2 or higher?
That's a weird
tier or higher.
It's tier 2 or higher. It's not, I don't like to do tier 5, I don't like to force tier 4.
And tier 1 is kind of meh. Is that your logic?
Yeah,
agree.
Well, okay. Tier one, and tier four is too brutal. Tier one's a little meh. I was torn between two and three. I think I just went with two.
Both of my lists are tier four anyway. So
that's because you play pigs.
Yeah,
and you have Midas, so you're playing tier obviously.
Yeah.
June is full of War Machine, because then the weekend after that's Daikon down in St. Louis, where a few of us went.
Which I don't have to miss, unfortunately.
I'm torn if I'm going to make it or not. I want to go, but I may miss it. And then the last weekend in June, we have another local event. Rick's running this kind of gladiator format that he took from the Texans, I think.
Yep, and I'll be missing that, because I'll be at a wedding, if memory serves.
Yep, my cousin's getting married.
Oh, I'm going to be going to a wedding.
I am.
So, yeah, that's like a 20-point mangled metal gladiarena thing.
Yeah, like bonus points for throwing and slamming and stuff.
Is it a close cousin?
Yeah, him and I are your favorite cousins.
Okay, well then I guess that's okay.
Yeah, I've met him several times.
All right, so that's our we always talk when I bring up upcoming events, but we
always forget.
22 episodes to actually remember, and we actually have a bunch of things coming up. We're going to have nonstop events in Madison for now.
That's like literally every weekend.
Yeah,
it's going to be pretty busy. Almost in June.
I have
when
1 week
lock and load and everything. Yeah,
my only free weekend between now and June is the weekend of lock and loaded. And even the first weekend in July is another event, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Well, right.
So I have between now and the middle of July, I have one free weekend.
So there'll be lots of battle reports coming up?
Yeah, non-stop battle reports.
Because we know how our fans love them.
It takes 3 seconds. Actually, I won, I lost, battle report
there's,
over.
There's people who really like battle reports.
I know, they really do.
Man, God, you know, if I want to put myself to sleep, I just put that on.
Well, here's the thing, is it's really, to me, it's only really harsh when it's like three of us that were all at the same event talking about our battle reports, because guess what? I already know exactly what happened in y'all's games. Because we sat around chatting about it in between rounds the whole day.
Or the ride home.
Or the whole car ride home. Like, I've already heard your story. Any interesting stories you had that day, I've heard four times.
Yeah. And I don't really expect somebody, you know, from Sweden who's going to like what I do in a game.
Yeah.
Well, they might.
It can be useful. I'm looking forward to our future plans regarding battle reports, which I won't go into, but the project we were discussing prior to hitting the record button. We need to get going on that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be very cool.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm absolutely confused, but I'll wait till afterwards. Oh.
Charades is happening over here. And I don't know why, but Brian Pantomime made the sound effect.
That's when I do that, I make that sound. I also hurt my palm.
You make
palm
that sound
today.
A lot doing that.
Well, I hurt my palms, but that's
you hurt your palm doing something that made you go.
I sprained my palm today.
You sprained?
I sprained my palm yesterday.
I don't even want to know.
Oh, I've already heard the story. It's pretty good.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good to be here.
So, yeah, we didn't mention during the intros. He just kind of said who he was, but we have Jeff, one of our local players here, who's usually not on the podcast, bringing a second Troll Blood perspective.
The right Troll Blood.
Who is not the Jeff we talked about a lot in the first episode.
You don't know that. You don't know
I
that.
I know that.
Well, I guess you do know that, but they don't know that.
We have multiple
Jeffs in our meta.
We do have multiple Jeffs, but first episode we talked about the other Jeff a lot.
We did talk about the
and
other
then
Jeff.
Second episode we talked about this Jeff.
Did
and
we?
Then fifth episode we talked about both of them a little bit, but mostly this Jeff, but kind of the other one a lot.
You're bullshitting. You actually remember which episodes we talked about which Jeffs?
We did switch between 1 and 2. 5, I don't remember. 10 was the one we talked about all of them. But
yes.
Right.
Anytime we talk about Borderlands, there's some Jeff discussion, too.
There was some Jeff.
Jeff was there for the Fabled 3 Murph fight.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
I was there, too.
You were in the basement of the farmhouse.
We were outside shitting ourselves.
Yeah. And we all discovered that you could have 3 Invincibles in the same fight. That's a neat trick.
Yeah.
Only when we killed the one of them, it crashed the game. We were going to win that fight, goddammit.
4 hours.
One down, 2 to go. Yeah.
Was there a fourth one forming as well?
Who knows?
Who knows?
We needed some nukes there.
I was too busy bleeding from my eyes from raw terror. It was a defense mechanism like those African frogs.
They just go squeak?
No, not that frog. The ones that shoot blood from their eyes. Although those, I think, are actually in the Amazon, not Africa. Sorry, people. I got it wrong.
Wow. Oh. Way bad at geography.
Yeah.
You know, this podcast is usually a mecca for amazing abilities at geography.
No. Most of us are pretty good at geography.
I failed at zoology because I could tell you where Africa and South America are.
I don't know.
I don't think you could.
I don't have to believe that. I don't have to believe that about you.
Because they're in the movie Old Yeller, so shouldn't they be like in the...
Africa is?
No.
South America?
The with the blood coming out of their eyes.
Are you sure?
They're in one of the movies about a dog that dies.
That doesn't narrow it down even a little.
I know that.
But it's an American movie, so I have to imagine that it happens somewhere.
Redfern? Homeward
Bound?
Where the Redfern grows,
that movie
was
hilarious.
Huh?
I don't know.
Yeah. There are a lot of movies about dogs thinking that it happens.
Speaking of which,
Lassie, something I found out, like, if you look at the one. You remember The Adventures of Milo and Otis?
Yeah, great movie, by the way.
Yeah, look at the DVD case sometime. There is not the no animals were harmed thing. Apparently, they just had like 50 or 60 dogs and cats that looked the same and just fed them to bears.
Really?
Like, yeah, apparently there just were massive casualties.
Oh my god!
Like, there's a scene where, like, they jump off a cliff. No. They just chased them off a cliff. And that dog and cat just died.
You're bullshitting.
That is what is claimed on the internet, and it is not solidly refuted, and the movie does not have the ASPCA disclosure thing
in
the credits.
Someone go to Snoop's and see how many animals are killed in Milo.
Like, it was filmed not in America. Like,
I'm just saying.
Definitely adorable film, just as horrible, you know, like...
Yeah.
To find a cat and a dog, though, like...
It's just a random pug and a gray tabby. It's not like...
Yeah, but, like... Cats are harder to train. It just seems like there would be fewer of them.
Well, that's why you just throw them at a bear. You don't have to train them. If you want to see a cat fighting a bear, you just throw the cat at a bear and then film the results.
They don't wait to action. You know, they just kind of go right into it.
That's terrible.
Like I said, this isn't like... 90%, like, it's an internet thing, so it could be a lie, but this isn't like the kid who was Mikey in the Life commercial's head blew up from Pock Rock's bullshit. Like, this could be true.
It could be.
I've never seen Milo and Otis, and now I don't want
what?
Them.
Especially since Disney killed all those lemmings.
They did kill all those lemmings.
Lemmings do not jump off cliffs, ever. That's not a thing they do. There was a Disney documentary, massive finger quotes there, where they're like, hey, we want to film something interesting. Let's just chase these animals off a cliff so they all die.
What?
And they just filmed these lemmings, and they're like, we want something interesting. So they chased them off a cliff. They all die. And then they're like, lemmings oftentimes commit mass suicide. And now we think that's true.
Well, the best part of it is there's only like 15 lemmings, and so they just had the same shot.
They just looped the footage. They looped the footage of lemmings dying because they just chased them off a cliff.
That's terrible.
Well, you know.
Well, they do that all the time when I play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I don't put that
along
the game.
With building bridges and stopping other lemmings from doing the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. If I don't put that one lemming with both his hands up and tells him to go the other way, they'll just walk right over that cliff.
It's true.
Yep.
What game are you talking about?
Lemmings.
How have you never played the game Lemmings? Little green guys? And they have, like, some of them have parachutes, some of them dig.
Yeah, green hair.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's just green hair, yeah. But either way. How have you never played that game? It's like a classic.
It's just like you have like a parade of these guys, and you have to get X number of them to the exit, and you can have them take on certain jobs.
Yeah.
And so they'll all just walk forward and die, but like you'll have this one guy turn into a ladder and have this other guy turn into a space where they have to turn around, and you just make it so that they get safely to the end of the level.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a classic.
Cool. It is a classic. It's really good.
Yeah. For those of us who had like computer labs in our elementary school and junior high, it was up there with Oregon Trail and Carmen San Diego.
Oregon Trail. Yeah. Now there was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to play that until I was like 17.
Die of dysentery.
Yeah, all the time.
Did you see the trailer to the live action film? It's amazing. I'll link it on the thread. It's great.
I'll look forward to that.
I like our threads. It's like there's 50 posts, 94 of them are from us.
The last thread, I responded every time somebody posted. I was just so bored that day. There'd be a post, and I'd just respond, and post, and I'd respond. And then somebody accidentally made me think of I Have No Mouth, and I Must Scream, and so that just put me off the deep end, because I love that book/game. True story.
Okay.
Muse had like 100 posts on theirs, but then I was like, why?
Cause theirs was an argument that felt, well, not an argument, but a flame war, let's call it.
Yeah, I opened it up.
About Battle Foam.
It was hilarious. I opened it up, and I was all like crazy. Like, one guy's defending Battle Foam like it's his baby.
Well, except the thing is, they all agreed, actually. Like, they're flame warring, and everybody on both sides was saying, Battle Foam makes decent products, Romeo is a shithead. And, like, they both were saying that, but they couldn't agree on what that meant to us as human beings.
To be fair, there were a few random posts in the middle where somebody would be like, I don't know that I accept the premise that Romeo is a shithead. And then there'd be, like, 7 posts of, you're a goddamn flaming idiot!
Why were they grizzled prospectors responding?
That was the tone of the thread, though.
It was.
And it was kind of winding down when I found, like, damn it, I missed all this fun yesterday. I was so disappointed that I didn't see the thread.
Was this on Muse?
Yeah, Muse's thread from 50, not the most recent episode, 54, but 53.
Oh.
Yeah. It goes like 4 or 5 pages of that.
And it was not discussing the episode.
No.
It was like, wow, that's a lot of discussion for a Muse episode. Oh, never mind. No. Just an internet argument.
Well, there were like 3 or 4 posts about the episode, and then it went off the Battle Foam deep end.
Yeah. Well, because of the whole Blood of Kittens thing they discussed in that episode.
Yeah, and then somebody linked to it, and then somebody linked to another thing about it. Oh, my God. Yeah, it went crazy, crazy, crazy.
So it was pretty hilarious.
I can't find an article on Snopes.
About
kittens, and that.
Maybe we'll do some research about this later. But I'm just saying.
You can research.
I know. But I did find an article, or basically, it's on Wikipedia, is when the film was released, several Australian animal rights organizations raised allegations of animal cruelty during the filming and called for a boycott.
Yeah.
Supposedly found like more than 20 killing of more than 20 kittens during the production. Added that she was disturbed by reports from Europe in which other animals had been injured in case with the producer allegedly had broken a cat's paw to make it appear unsteady on its feet.
Wow. So there's your childhood, I mean, I don't your like, cherished childhood film.
I don't like cats, don't get me wrong, but wow.
Other scenes that were the source of controversy were the scene of a kitten flying off a cliff.
Yep.
And a scene of a pug fighting a bear. Yep.
They just threw the dog at the bear and just roll it.
Oh my god.
How did the bear not attack all of them then?
I was gonna say, what does the bear do after it finishes off the pug? Just wander off?
You can throw a pug pretty far.
Yeah. You keep on feeding them pugs. He's gonna get pretty satisfied after a while.
Oh, that's terrible.
What, do they hose him down so there's no blood then?
I don't know.
By the way, happy Mother's Day.
Wow.
Basically, a less morbid thing. My ex and I, one time we were in like one of the used video stores, and they were clearancing out their VHS and just getting rid of it, so they had all these VHS tapes for literally like a dime. And so we found one from like the 50s, this kid's movie called Bill and Coo, which was the adventures of two parakeets. And they were like actual live – no, they were lovebirds. And the guy had like a whole movie, and they were all actual lovebirds, and he had them like in little carousels and wearing little costumes and running around, and it's like live action. And it's adorable, except the thing is, at the beginning of the movie, he comes out and he's like, let me tell you how I filmed this. I made sure to never give them any affection. I never made any physical contact with them. They were never like these parakeets live this hellish, unloved, like quarantined existence. Because that, in his mind, was the best way to make them wear little tiny hats and ride bicycles.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's so morbid because he's like, yes, these birds were unloved. Enjoy the film, kids.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about this.
It was just so shocking. What's the 1950s mentality? Who gives a shit about a lovebird, right? Like
we got like Cold War shit to worry about.
Yeah.
We have actual problems.
Well, the look on Katie's face is like her childhood has just suffered a severe
injury. At least they didn't throw them at bears.
She had a rough time in the 50s growing up.
Yeah, she would have.
Well, here's the thing is I think people are a little bit too baby to animals nowadays, but...
Hey, it was your corner last time. You talked about that whole cat fence bullcrap.
Yeah, that's bullcrap.
Yeah.
They are too baby.
So just don't touch your lovebirds when you're teaching them to act.
You shouldn't throw them off cliffs either.
I could probably think of, okay. That was fine.
I can think of some cats I would throw off a cliff.
The truth is somewhere between throwing them off a cliff and making them wear people clothing.
Somewhere in there.
That's a narrow target. Like, there's not much wiggle room.
All right,
Brian,
on.
You wanted to apologize?
Well, I did have a segment called Brian's Apology. I'm
very curious about this.
I almost want to apologize for the last 5 minutes of what just happened.
Yeah, that's probably worth doing.
All right. So my apology for – quick summary for this apology. A local player, Jordan, has went to Adepticon with him and Jeremy. Adepticon. Jordan plays Kator, but his army wasn't painted. He's having someone – he's paying someone to paint his army. But it wasn't done in time.
Right.
So he asked me a couple weeks before the event, say, hey, Brian, can I borrow your score? Which I mentioned briefly on the podcast about making some jokes like how many banners will he break.
Yeah.
He broke none of them. Spoiler, it was fine.
Okay.
But a week after he borrowed, and my score was painted because I painted it over a, I spent a winter painting my models. They all follow a scheme. I think in no quarter 18 or 19, there's a
17.
17. There's a whole article of how to paint score, and it's like inversing the colors.
Yeah.
So it's all painted, and I've kept it fully painted. I borrow him like 80% of my models. He comes into the game store the next week, and he's playing a game. He's having fun. He's like, by the way, Brian, I was looking at your models, and I've never seen worse shitty fucking painted pieces of cunt fuck shit ass white things in my life. It's an embarrassment to be near these models.
I don't know that he put it quite like that.
But he's in about every week. He's like, yeah, remember that time I borrowed your really shit fuck models? It was hilarious. And I'm proud of them. I mean, those models, they're tabletop quality. I feel my beasts are of even better quality.
I would agree.
And my other miniatures, I can't paint a face.
Right.
And that's just the thing. It doesn't bother me.
No.
But it amuses me that someone like Jordan, who doesn't even put the effort into painting.
He doesn't paint at all.
Just, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't even prime a lot of his stuff.
He doesn't, exactly. It's like when I put when you if you if you're someone who paints, I'll get to my apology in a second.
there's dry brush snobbery. I mean, that's the thing is you use a lot of dry brushing, and to a lot of people that doesn't count as real painting.
And that's
cheating,
and that's fine. And the thing is, people who paint, like if someone who paint, like Andy, Jim, other people paint a lot in their meadows. We have a lot of like even Marshall was here. He painted really well, and they would say they would put their miles down. They would maybe critique or say some comment, but then you don't really if you paint an army, you understand there's time and effort, and you know there's stuff put into it. So you don't just go, hey, you're thing shit,
right,
or whatnot. So Jordan does. So my apology is this: at some point in the near future, I'm going to punch Jordan in the throat really, really hard and take his colossal and smash it over his face. And I want to apologize because when this happens, it's going to be an uncomfortable moment in the game store as I'm choking the life out of Jordan. And there, as I get pulled off of him, I want people to say, "Well, he says Brian said he's sorry,
not to Jordan, to the viewers for the discomfort."
Because at the time, I will be out of breath as I'm trying to end his life. So I just wanted to pre-apologize for when I do this to
Also,
Jordan.
We need to clarify that you will not be choking him. You will be strangling him. There's a critical difference.
Well, I'm going to start with the punch to the throat, then followed by the smash of the claw. It really depends on how much rage I'm in, whether I'm choking him, strangling him, or just ripping his balls off. But something will be happening to Jordan the next time he makes a comment about my painted mice.
You've really just kind of been like building up on this one for a while.
Yeah, but
that's why I'm getting close to the punch, the starting of the assault.
You know,
so
you could just say, Hey, Jordan, why don't you shut the fuck up?
I have done that. He goes, oh, you're so funny, Brian. And then I start seeing red again.
I think he thinks it's a running gag.
He does.
And it's not.
Oh, I'm going to watch one of our players get killed by RPG.
Awesome.
No, but yeah, I've seen how much time Brian takes.
I have too. I know
he
does.
Well, he takes a lot of time with them, but they do turn out like shit.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Ooh, you painted gray to dry brush it. Making a masturbation reference motion there.
So yeah, that's just what I wanted to say. You know.
All right then. Well, that was uncomfortable and awkward for all of us.
No.
Well, it's going to be even more so when it happens.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm fine with it.
We knew all the signs.
There's one thing you do is, I mean, you just don't. I don't know. You just don't want to insult somebody's.
No, I agree. That's a legit thing because I've seen people like we were talking about Marshall, who's actually a really, really good painter. And I remember one time, and I think I remember who said this, but I'm not going to name names because it's not fair.
Was it me?
No, Marshall brought in one of his newly painted models, not the ones that I bought of him that are pretty good, but his newer ones, which are pretty friggin' amazing.
Yeah, and like they win competitions.
Yeah,
amazing.
And he put it down on the table at our game store, and he was like, "Hey guys, look at my model." And a couple people were like, "Oh, that's really cool." And he's like, "Well, does anybody have any critique or anything like that?" And somebody who hadn't said it was cool or anything like that walked over as he was saying that, looked at his model, and was like, "Well, that's really shitty, and you fucked up X, Y, and Z," and then walked away. And I was just like, did that just happen?
Right.
Yeah. Who was it?
I'm not going to say.
Just write it down.
No. But anyway, so it's not just...
What letter does it start with?
No.
Well, you just whispered in my ear.
No.
Does it rhyme with O?
I am not going to say who it was, but anyway.
Does it rhyme with Uis?
I don't think it rhymes with Uis.
Does it rhyme with M?
Does it rhyme with 80?
Are you sure it wasn't me?
It wasn't you.
Okay. Because right. That sounds like some kind of thing that I would
Does it rhyme with Ethan? I just want to double check here real quick.
It was not anyone here that's podcasting with us at the moment.
Can we pause it?
I'll pause the podcast
here for a second.
My point is that people that paint really well have this kind of shit happen to them. And it's really, really rude. And I wish it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, I paused the podcast so you could say who it is.
Can you just tell me? I won't tell anyone else, but I really need
to know. Katie won't tell anyone else. That's
because Katie never tells us things about you, Jeremy.
Ever.
Hey, he didn't say that was a secret.
I haven't actually bothered to find out from Jim and Brian what it was that
you
ruined in the car.
Didn't anyone with a... Anyway.
There are things that are automatically secrets is what Jeremy's implying.
Yes.
No, I work in a profession where if it's a secret, they make you sign a confidential agreement. Otherwise, it's
weird. Well, I will point out, according to...
I do.
According to, like, federal law, court-wise, anything he tells you is a secret.
That's true.
Well, from the authorities.
You're saying PG has no authorities?
I'm definitely saying that.
What about judges?
Yeah, they have no authority either.
Aww, I can't even run events.
Sad face. Sad, Nathan.
You get to be on the secret judge forum.
Yeah, and talk about how walking through a charging through a colossal and stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I did get to make a ruling, and I felt like a big man.
Did you?
And then somebody asked a follow-up question, and we didn't have an answer for that, so the thread got locked again.
Oh, oops. Oops. What was your ruling?
That the scenario that used to be called Gaidon. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the name of the scenario. The Effigy of Valor, but it's not called that anymore. I forget what it's called, but the one where you can teleport.
Well, you can move them around. Yeah.
Move them around. It was when can you move those guys?
And it's turn one.
No. But when during, because the rule says during the dominating Warcaster's turn.
Yeah.
And Warcaster's don't have turns. They have activations, and players right. have turns. So which of those words was wrong?
So what did you rule?
The ruling was that it's basically an anytime ability that all of your models get for that activation, essentially. Like, while it's dominated, you can do it during any model's activation.
So it doesn't activate they independently.
It doesn't have an activation. It's just like, so like your long gunners could move, shoot, and then place it, and then they could end their activation. Or like the other example they said is Morvana 2 could move up, dominate it, place it, and then light cav away.
Like, I guess the way I've always played it, and apparently it's wrong.
Yeah, I'd always give it its activation.
It became a model who had its own activation.
That's how I had always played it, too. Huh. But nope.
Interesting.
So you're the first.
The follow-up question was, can it be placed during the maintenance phase? That's part of your turn. And we're like, lock.
But you're not dominating it.
You dominate all the time. Dominate is just a status. Dominate is Warcaster within 2 inches, no enemies within 4.
All right, then.
Nobody says you only do that during the activation phase.
Oh, I thought it counted domination at the end of the turn.
That's
when
for
you
scoring.
Score points. Yeah.
Scoring based on domination happens at the end of the turn, okay. But you dominate all the time. Otherwise, the things that like give +1 range when you're dominating and the things that make you immune when dominating
that
wouldn't
makes
do anything.
Yep. Huh. Well, you could just do it at the end of your turn, so you get these bonuses that don't do anything.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be helpful.
I'm used to judges pulse-eating
critical
information.
They already do nothing. One of them's for light artillery.
I got yelled at. Katie is like molesting Jeremy to try to get him to share secrets over
there.
It's
really more fun this way for me.
Oh my God, Jeff, shut the fuck up.
I know, right?
Jesus.
Our next topic is called, now that my apology is over. The next
is that your apology or admission of guilt?
So
this will be used in court.
I was sitting
everyone who listens to this is going to be called into court.
I was sitting on that side of the table last week, and Jeremy hijacked the timestamp directorship away from me.
And now Brian's
then I moved over here, and Brian's doing it, so I just don't have a job anymore.
Well, now that you're a judge, you can't be
my
trusted
to be
handle
obnoxious.
Menial things
at
a time.
Yeah. You have no value, you're a judge.
Being obnoxious
was
my hobby before.
Because I told you that I hearted you, and you drew a penis splooging all over it.
To
okay,
be fair,
Andy drew the penis,
and
then
you
splooged all over.
Drew splooge.
So that hurt.
That's a sign of affection.
That hurt.
Speaking of my
I was hurt at the time. You had mowed me.
Wow. Oh.
Wow.
I'm sure I don't know what that's a reference to.
I don't know. I don't even understand that comment.
Anyway,
did it involve some Aztec or something?
Maybe. No, it did not involve Aztec.
Where were we that I saw a major Aztec yesterday?
Sit with our friend Ted.
It might have been. It might have been to our friend Ted. Yeah.
I still don't get how people cannot be aware of that. Like, I'll be walking up the stairs. Like, the jeans I'm wearing right now, they're a little loose because I bought them when I was fatter. Which, yes, I've been even fatter than this before. But get away from the lemon heads, Jeremy. God damn it. But the point is, like, I'll be walking up the stairs or whatever, and they'll start to slip, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting plumber's butt now. I better pull my pants up. Like, how can you not be aware of that?
Ted always has Aztec. Like, it's just something that when you're friends with Ted, you're just very familiar with what
you
is.
You should ask Ted. Ted, you know your ass is out. Do you know ask him.
We
get
should
more information. You like to ask crazy questions of people. Ask Ted about his ass.
He'll just say, oh, okay. And then if you ask him about it, he'll be like, it happens sometimes. That's the kind of person Ted is.
Ass happens.
Yeah, that is the way Ted is. That's true.
Is that another possible t-shirt? It's just ass happens.
It's comfortable enough he's going to decorate it later.
We could,
tramp stamp
there
on
you
there.
Go,
you
tramp
know.
Stamp. Oh, God.
Hold on. We could do a t-shirt that just has a crack of an ass at the bottom of the back of the shirt. So it just looks like it's hanging out.
Nice.
And that's
but I do want to put a disclaimer. Like, Ted's a really nice guy. He's awesome.
Oh, he's a great
friend.
Guy. Yeah, exactly.
He's you see his
lot. Hey, he's like, he's proud of it. He's like, hey, look at this. I worked hard to make it this size and shape. I ate X amount of Twinkies to get this.
Well, the funny thing, he's like one of the most in shape people I know. Like, he does like karate and stuff all the time, but he still has Aztec. I don't know. I don't get it.
Does he understand how a belt works?
That might be the problem, but he usually is
all
wearing
the time.
A belt.
Does he know how to use it? There's a difference.
I mean, it's buckled. It's not just like hanging through the loops.
I wrote down a dictionary entry for Brian, so I could explain what I was referencing earlier.
Wow. All right.
Jeff, guest of the day, let's hear about you. You said you play Trolls. Why do you play Trolls? How long have you been playing, etc.?
Well, I always tell everyone the story. I played Trolls since before they were launched, because I've always been fascinated with things that, like, regenerate. So I always read their background fluff, and it was cool. Like, okay, their limbs grow back and what have you. So, like, you know, like, the jokes were like, well, imagine growing up where, like, you lose your hand, your parents are like, well, don't do that again. Did you find it? We got to stitch it back, you know? Right. So I've always liked them. I just kind of adapted my playstyle to them. And before that, I actually played Crix, and I did not like Crix in Mark 1 ever since the Bane Knight came out, because I felt like I had to play the Bane Knight or I wasn't going to be competitive, and I hated playing the Bane Knight because then I was being a dick.
Be the dick.
No.
You, me, and Jason won the first league together, the first team league. I forgot the name of our name. It was like some ridiculous, like witches, bitches, and hoes or something.
Litches, bitches, and witches, I think.
Yeah, it was some nice. Yeah.
But I still didn't like that. So the Trollbloods came out, I picked them up, and I've been playing them ever since.
You hated winning.
Yeah, I could go with that.
So like, you played Trolls?
You've seen the way I play. I take the models everybody hates, and I field them and try to justify their existence.
Yeah, and you still have like a better than 50-50 win percentage against me.
Yeah, that's because you're awful. and Jeff does a decent job at doing things that other people don't do.
That's true. He does.
How many Skinners do you own?
Two. I'm not proud to say
and
that.
And you've had both of them on the table. It's so confusing. What's a Skinner?
That actually kind of worked.
I know. That's what's so crazy.
What's a Skinner?
the most terrible model in the game. It's just picture everything that makes Victor Pendrake cool.
Okay.
And make him a medium base.
Okay.
And take away all of his good rules.
That seems unfortunate for him.
They're bad. Like the whole reason they're supposed to exist is to like kill war beasts. Because they have, like,
don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Well, especially they do when they give you a power 8 weapon to do it with.
But he has Dismember. So against War Beast, he's a Power 8 Weapon Master.
Hooray!
Isn't he a Weapon Master Dismember, so like he's gold. So he's like rolling a million dice with his Power 8.
But you know what's better?
Hitting
two
him in
power
the first
weapon
place.
Master, two Power 10 Weapon Masters you can find in a Fel Caller that buffs other units.
Yep. Yes. That does seem better.
Yes.
Yeah. And also has a spray.
The big thing is like the whole reason the Skinner exists is to kill like light War Beasts or lesser War Beasts and stuff, and average dice, he does not kill a Tenacity Shredder.
Which is the only reason he should exist.
Average dice, he doesn't kill a Tenacity Shredder.
Yeah. And then the Shredder just boosts his attack roll and murders the Skinner.
Yeah, it murders him to death. That's hilarious.
Yeah. The only way I've ever gotten to work is a super gimmicky list that uses a Mountain King, which is another big model of debate, and then makes their defense ridiculous against enemy beasts.
Did I tell you the thing that I saw that Chad did against me at Adepticon with the Mountain King? Gristle 1? He, first turn, he had her cast Riff on the Mountain King and then just charge forward or whatever, because then the Earthborn put the Animus on the Mountain King, who now just like went a foot and a half up the table. And I shat my pants, and then it was horrible for me.
That seems contrived, because you can do the exact same thing with an Axer without having to cast a spell at it.
But then you have to have an Axer in your list. And
which
the
works
list
really well with the Mountain King because of a Muck.
Well, he had Earthborn, Molg, Mountain King, a unit of champs with Scaldi, a Fel Caller, and the Stone and Gristle, and that was everything. And it worked. It was really, really hard hitting. And so that was kind of a ghetto way to get the to get Rush in there.
Interesting.
The Earthborn Animus became Rush.
I can't argue with results. It just seems kind of like you're adding
Animus
an extra step in there.
Also, because of the 1 point of damage. Yes. And also, he's a gargantuan, so he has Pathfinder anyway. Because of the 1 point of damage that Rift had done to him, he sure did snack on one of my heavy war beasts.
That's much more legit.
And I was Midas. I was sad.
Yeah.
That's kind of hilarious.
I wanted that Roadhog.
No wrong.
And then halfway through the game, I remembered that I had bad blood, and I felt even worse.
Yeah, you should have bad blooded it.
Yeah, you shouldn't have healed that list against something that's got bad blood.
Yeah.
No.
Bad blood.
That's such a good spell when you use it. I feel like I always wind up playing a bad blood caster against War Machine. But
aren't there only two of them?
Well, because if you're fielding Legion.
There's one in Legion.
Yeah, so there's two of them?
There's really only two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a signature spell until Midas came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it's on Elil?
Lilith 1.
That's probably why I never see it.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, you played since beginning of Mark. You were playing when I was kind of
around. My very first game of War Machine was a Kador versus Mercenaries battle box with P. Magnus. And I was on the P. Magnus side of things. And I won the game, I'm pretty certain, due to a gimme. I was too fresh with the rules to know, but Sorcha walked a little too close to a jack, and I still had to use my Obliterator Rocket. So, Obliterator Rocket, Scorch on her butt, and then spells happened. You know.
Nice.
I don't remember games from that far.
Well, I mean, it was my first game.
Everyone remembers their first time.
I remember my first game.
Yeah, I remember my first game.
Apparently yours was so traumatic you forgot about it.
I totally remember
it was a sex reference, too.
It was that as well.
It was
the first game was the first sex thing, too?
Yeah, that's why it was awkward.
Oh, okay.
That explains.
Sit up, there's a little stick in my ass? What, you know?
Oh.
Wait, what now?
For the record, it was not me.
For once. I heard that Brian's mom really enjoyed listening to our podcast.
My mom did enjoy the last podcast.
And listening to Brian.
Why did she listen to the podcast?
Her first podcast ever, so she's hearing all about Katie and the big black cock.
And Brian and my colon up the ass.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a serious, serious medical procedure that saves lives.
And happens to be hilarious.
That wasn't the part that she was paying attention to.
She's been watching. I post all the. We have game days. I post a lot of the games on Facebook. She's like, I've been looking at your pick those games. I have no fucking clue what you do. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that's okay.
So you don't have to know.
Yeah.
I like to think that that's actually how your mom phrased it. She's like, I have no fucking idea what you do, Brian.
Yeah.
Your mom's a sailor.
This explains where he got his mouth.
Yeah.
All right, so Jeff, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Favorite thing in the new book for Trolls?
Well, I've only gotten to play around with Egrim.
I know you love Egrim.
I am super curious how the Night Troll's going to work.
Really?
Yes.
He's got Eye of Menoth, or he's got Gaze of Menoth on him, which is pretty handy.
Yep. Well, yeah. With a shorter range and
still ghetto Eye of Menoth, but
yeah,
it's only slightly shorter.
It's like six inches. It's Eye of Troll Blood.
Is it five inches?
And you know, living non-warcaster, non-warlock, you know, enemy. So,
well, if it was 8 inches and worked on everything, it would be broken.
Yeah. I can dream.
God forbid.
No, but I'm really curious to see how this thing's going to work, because I think it's actually going to be, instead of an early game piece like a lot of people online think it's going to be, I think it's going to be more of a late game thing, where they get jammed in there and you just sneak this Night Troll by and go, by the way, you can't push any further into my line. My jam just got worse.
Well, yeah, because late game, when there's not enough stuff left, because you do that early game, they just go, oh, I have to move towards you. How about I move towards you with death?
Yes.
Yeah. But late game, when they have less stuff that can kill it in a turn, then it actually is going to screw with their positioning.
Yeah. Is that kind of stealth, too?
Yes. Okay. And I think it's actually a legitimate late game threat to casters, because that little 4-point beast has paralysis on its claws. So you let a caster get too close, it walks up, sticks a living caster, they freeze up, go to defense 7, and the rest of the army goes, oh, really now?
That's not a crit, that's just on hit?
That's just on hit for both of its two claws. Which are not open fists.
Jeff, get off the podcast.
Okay, I'm done. <You're> Too much actual game stuff?
Yeah. No, too much good
stuff. Too much stuff that scares Brian.
Yeah, I don't like good tactics.
Oh.
I was excited about the sorcerer.
The sorcerer?
Seriously? Come on.
All right, I'm sorry.
That was such
Jeremy.
We don't insult people that aren't Jeremy on this podcast.
Yeah, occasionally we do. Usually not people that are on the podcast.
Well, no, that's what I mean. If you're either Jeremy or not here, you're open target.
Especially Travis. Hey, Travis.
How's it going, Sam?
Get it? Because you're dumb.
He was very bored by our last podcast, by the way. He's like, you guys talk about board games. It's dumb.
Quick question,
that's
Jeremy.
That's my Travis impression.
I thought he was here.
Who, when, where?
Who?
Huh?
Who?
Who, what?
Who was that?
Who
guy
was
in
what?
First base?
This is the worst knock-knock joke ever.
What the hell's happening here?
I don't know what you're getting at.
No, you got to tell us who that was.
Who
insulted the paint job?
I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. None of us knew what you were even talking about.
Yeah, nobody
about
knew what you were getting at.
That's some weird
even Katie gave up on
Costello
asking.
Thing.
Oh, no. I'm just letting you get your guards down.
Hey, so here's the funny thing, Jeremy. You're not getting laid again ever. Like, she's enacted plan blue ball. And you're going to crack, like, in an hour. We're not even going to be done with the podcast. We're like, oh, my God, it's this.
Here's the thing. I tried the opposite of plan blue ball, and that didn't work. He said, this is too much fun for me, which told me I need to do the opposite. Less fun.
He's laughing now. 5 minutes from now, he'll be like, wait.
Why on earth would you have tried the opposite of plan blue ball? Like, you thought, oh, I'll just over-sex him into submission? That's like the Simpsons episode when Homer's in hell, and they're like, haha, you like donuts, we'll give you all the donuts you want. And he just literally eats all the donuts. And they're like, oh, he was supposed to be ironically angry.
How do you think she convinces me to, like, skip War Machine nights, Nate?
I don't know.
It usually works really well.
Meh. I just rub one out and go to War Machine. Like, I got things to do.
Wow.
It's a time management tool, you know.
If I hurt my wrist, I can't right now. Brian's
too. Palm.
I'm very repressed right now.
I've told this story at the group, but I want to tell this on the podcast. So Raylene has a Kindle Fire, and so she just downloads shitloads of free books off of Amazon. There's all kinds of old public domain stuff and then new stuff that's just crap. Like, yeah. You write a book and you're like, oh, no one will publish me. I'll just put it on Amazon, free download, whatever. So she reads a lot of weird sci-fi and horror stuff. And she was talking about this one she was reading where this guy was cursed, where he had to masturbate every 24 hours or he'd turn into a werewolf. Which is like, all right, so you're just never going to turn into a werewolf then. Oh, no, that's real difficult. But then she said, yeah, and so, like, he goes to the therapist, and the therapist's like, how often you masturbate? He's like, every day, and the therapist's like, why? And I'm thinking, because he's a guy? what therapist would be surprised or confused and ask why?
A woman?
No. I don't think any therapist would be surprised at a dude who jerks off daily. If it was hourly, then they're going to get concerned for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying every guy does it daily, but I'm saying that's within the realm of stereotypical guy consistency.
It seems believable.
If you were forced to every day, like, okay, I suppose. I wasn't every day, then I skip every third day. But nah, if I have to do every day, I suppose we'll just.
Yeah. What if you wanted to turn into a werewolf?
That's the other thing. I have to do. I mean, that's.
Now it's not a curse. Now it's a superpower. Yeah. I need to be a werewolf. I better stop.
but then he never is able to because he can't stop. Now he's addicted to it. That's the ironic twist in the story.
It's a superpower that requires incredible self-control.
Well, does he turn not into a werewolf, or does he have to like masturbate in werewolf form in order to?
Don't know about turning back. I only knew of the preventative measures.
Ah. I'm sure the first thing he'd do is a werewolf and masturbate. But he'd move on to killing people.
That's all I'd do. I'd be like, ooh!
You gotta check the equipment first.
The writer had to have had a way for him to like turn back into a person when they came up with
maybe that's
concept.
In the sequel.
So let me ask you this. Was Raylene reading like the intimate details of his daily routine? Because it seems like this book would have been fairly short.
Well, I think this was just a part of it. Like, he had to, like, fight crime or something, but one thing was that he had to turn into a werewolf.
I like that. That was good.
I missed it. What did you say?
He said
it was a Jergens ad.
Oh. It's a Jergens ad. Funny. I don't get it.
Chafing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
Like a chafing dish?
Wow.
What's a chafing dish?
It's those... Those hot things that are the plates that you like put food in to keep them warm at like a buffet.
Yeah,
like a hot plate.
No, so, like the metal thing they use at a buffet that's got like the food in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The actual like metal tray that they put in that's a chafing dish.
Okay, learn something new.
Yeah.
And the candle under it's called a sterno.
Well, sterno is the chemical that goes into some.
They
of
call
them
sterno candles. Yeah.
If they use sterno, yes.
All right, well, this is...
It's like Band-Aid. Most people use that
term. I have to say, moving on, only because it's boring. It's natural and flowing, but my God, it's boring. I'm trying to spam the plus 15-second button right now.
Strip.
Yeah.
He's my favorite person, by the way. Necromerlinoid or whatever.
I did laugh when he put that he went and updated his iTunes, and now he has to skip every 15 seconds.
He has to hit it twice as often.
He has to hit it twice as often to go through our episodes.
I'm not sure what percentage he's being serious and what percentage he's trolling.
I'm okay with either one. I hope he ended on the werewolf masturbation. Because then you have to rewind a couple seconds. You need to know where that came from. You can't just skip over that part.
No.
All I know is now I'm thinking of those AT&T U-verse commercials with the little kids, and there's the one where the girl's doing her impression of a werewolf. Remember? You've seen those ones. No?
Those are hilarious commercials.
Those are fucking amazing. Oh.
Which one?
I'll show you. It's a guy talking to kids about
AT&T
U-verse.
One of them
is faster. Is faster good? And the girl's like, yeah, you want to be faster so you don't get bit by a werewolf and turn into a werewolf, and then you'll be like, rah, 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 rah. Yeah, I love that that's her werewolf impression. Like, that girl's here just, rah, rah, rah,
rah.
Here's
the one that bothers me is the one about the TV that's supposed to be bigger, and the guy's like, well, and then you'd have to hold the cable up, and you wouldn't be able to see because the TV's not very big. Why are you holding the cable up to begin with? I feel like there's a flaw in this kid's reasoning, and most of the reasoning I can follow. Like, it makes sense in kid world. This one does not.
My brother and my nephew were discussing their favorite one of those, and it was one I had never seen. So I don't know if there's, like, specific regions where you get different ones, but there was one where this guy's like, which is better, two or one? And this kid's like, well, two, because like if you had two laser eyes, that's better than one laser eye. Because like one laser eye, sure, you do a little bit of damage, but two laser and so my brother and his son were just quoting that little bit of damage like all weekend long. And I was like, what the hell are you two referencing? And I just had never seen that one.
I'm going to go watch that one.
I've seen that one.
That does sound like a good one.
So I had to redeem myself by showing them the pizza, the Little Caesars There's No Rules commercial with the guy taking off his shirt.
Yes.
That one's the best.
I like the Spock commercial.
Yeah.
That one is pretty good, too.
And I hate commercials. That's one of the few commercials I actually watch and laugh. I mean, that in the U-verse, typically I'm like, commercials, fuck them.
Like, I don't give a crap about your product. Yeah. Just, I want a little 10-second long enjoyable film and then go away.
I enjoy the E-Trade Baby?
No.
Like some of them is early stuff. Oh, really
get
like.
Off the podcast.
No, I love it.
Seriously.
I love it.
We have reached a new low.
Here's the worst thing. Is like, this whole family likes it, and they'll sit around and quote it.
Yeah, we do.
And so whenever I go to visit family, they all quote it to me.
Yeah, we do.
Until this moment, I've been joking when I said that I hate you and you're a useless pile of crap. I'm not joking anymore, Jeremy. God damn it. Who likes that thing?
What?
So the shade. Watching, like, commercials that failed. One of the commercials that was on there is honestly like one of my favorite Skittles commercials is with the guy who everything he touches turns to Skittles.
Yes.
He's got the desk that explodes into Skittles. They say that was one of the worst commercials that they put out for that.
That whole Skittles campaign, that whole year Skittles had all kinds of weird surreal campaigns like that.
Amazing. I love that commercial. Hopefully,
Old Spice commercials succeed like that.
Hopefully, he doesn't have a 24-hour curse.
Now that ticket tree, that ticket tree commercial is terrifying.
Yeah.
That guy is the oak tree from hell.
Which one?
Oh, it's an oak tree that's going to rape you in your nightmares. Is what it is. There's no other way. Like you see this thing, you're like, oh yeah, no, that's totally going to be in my nightmares.
It's an oak tree that they give like way too much coffee to for no apparent reason.
It's like this giant animatronic thing in its eyes and its mouth, and it's.
And you know what?
I don't know how a tree
dark crystal.
I don't know how a tree can be that deep in the uncanny valley because it's not even humanoid, but it's just so disturbing. And Dark Crystal's awesome. Fuck you.
But no, that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of something you'd find in the Dark Crystal.
Get a lot of dreams.
I think you're probably thinking more of Never Ending Story.
Yeah, you're more Never Ending Story.
That's more Never Ending Story.
No, I'm thinking Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal is not that.
I am.
The weirdest thing about Dark Crystal was the fact that Augra, the little Frank Oz voice motherfucker.
They threw it a bear.
They gave her nipples. Like, she has pokies.
Yeah.
Like, her dress, and they're just poking through like it's cold in there. I'm like, why did you give the puppet nipples?
Because they could.
Like, to make her a little more terrifying.
They give Batman nipples. They can give anyone
nipples.
Joel Schumacher.
Yep. Go Batman.
Oh, that was a great episode of the Batman animated series. Like, all these kids are telling their different stories about Batman, and they're, like, each from a different era. Like, one's, like, the 1960s style, and one's, like, the Frank Miller Dark Knight. And they're walking, talking, and then there was one kid's like, hey, you guys talk about Batman? I heard that, like, he's got all these, like, colorful lights on his car, and he can do all this stuff. And they're like, shut up, Joel. And then they just keep walking.
Nice. Nice.
Stupid Joel Schumacher. Although he did Falling Down, which I like.
Did he? Yeah.
He's falling down with, like, Lost Boys, which
Lost
is good.
Lost Boys, yeah. He started out well.
And then he put nipples on the bat suit, and what the hell?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. That did happen.
That did happen, unfortunately.
So that was
George
Jeff.
Clooney's Batman, right?
That was George Clooney's Batman.
Yeah. So summed up with bat nipples.
Yeah.
A bat credit card.
Jeff does have one nipple, so it does count, kind of.
Yeah.
Lost the other one in the war.
The Cola War.
Speaking of wars,
Mr. Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah,
Katie was on a tear yesterday on Board Game Day. She was just winning all the games.
She did win a couple of times.
I still can't win Seven Wonders.
No, you can't.
I even tried to cheat one time.
You did try to cheat.
And the best part of that is then afterwards, Brian was just policing me. How did you afford that? What did you do?
It was just once.
All right, then. Keep going.
All right. But yeah, that was fun because you won El Grande.
I love that game.
I love playing at five, just five players. Cause, like, that game is like just fun at five. I don't think it works at any other point level.
Well, I think at four you wouldn't be able to screw with each other enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm interesting because I finally got Kalis and we played it the one time with the full five, and I was looking on Board Game Geek, and apparently a lot of people say that it's best with three or four, not the full five.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious in playing.
I would love to play it more. I mean, every game has a sweet spot, and it's just fun to find the sweet spot, play a game. I think Fortune and Glory is amazing at, I think, three or four. Like, if I played more Fortune Glory, I want to cap it at four every time. Maybe five occasionally.
But we did five, and five was okay, but I agree that three and four are really the hot spot for that. Three for completely competitive, four for team.
Yep. I would do four for team, but then I would rank up the difficulty level because it is an amazing.
Because when we did six for team, it got out of hand quickly.
Yeah.
Because, you just three of you jump a quest early and then explode with gear.
Would the mechanics not allow three teams of two?
It could.
It might.
I see nothing in the mechanics that would prevent that.
I can't think of a reason that would. Yep, and that I would play. I would try that.
Yep, three. Yeah, you could. I'm just saying. Yeah. I think it's six. If I have six people, as much as I love Fortune and Glory, there are better six player games.
Zombicide.
Zombicide is great at six players.
Zombicide works without six though too.
Well, he didn't say. Well, I'm saying if he had six, he wouldn't play Fortune Glory.
Our group hasn't played the game Junta. That's okay. I think that's great at six
I don't
or
know
seven.
Junta,
that was in that book I was showing you at Pegasus, the top 100 board games.
I'll pick it up when our friend Sean has Junta. You just scream Junta a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
and it's funny, the article in it was saying, Junta, it's flawed, it might go a little too long, some of the this, some of the that, and none of these downsides matter because the game's amazing and everybody has funny stories to tell about it.
Is Dune and Rex 6 or 7?
6.
Yes, see, Dune,
so,
Dune and Rex are both 6.
I like Game of Thrones at 6, as long as you don't have a couple.
As long as you don't have a team of two because of, as long as one person not playing two houses.
Game of Thrones with six competent players is still my favorite thing in the world.
Game of Thrones that doesn't turn into a game of diplomacy.
Yeah.
Is what you're looking for.
StarCraft.
No, that's not the issue. The issue isn't that it turns into a game of diplomacy because I still maintain any war game is going to have that element in it just by nature of how it works.
The element.
The issue is if somebody is so. If somebody who's good at that and someone who's awful at that are next to each other, then you have one person playing two houses, and that's pretty good tactical advantage.
Yeah, that's true.
My other Game of Thrones problem is that way. My only real problem is there's six possible people you can play.
Houses,
three of them are more powerful than the other three.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So when you play, if everyone understands that and the way alliances form around the power structure, then it's a good game too.
Yeah.
So you need smart players to play that game to be it fun.
Yeah, asymmetrical games are okay as long as the players know that and mitigate for that.
Well, everyone in our group knows that Lannister is the most popular house and the most powerful, and so you don't want to help them out.
Right.
Because that would be bad.
Don't raid my shit.
Well, a couple of times people will play it. Let's just mess with Jeremy. He's playing a weak faction, so why mess with Jeremy? I mean,
that happens every time we play one of those games.
It's funny to say
though.
That, but it sometimes ruins the game overall when you do that.
When it's an hour and a half long game.
Yeah, but that does happen with a lot of games we play, to be fair.
Well, it's
with certain players.
And they aren't invited as much to our games.
It's true.
So.
But yeah, it does happen.
I didn't do mess with Jeremy. You raided my shit.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to play in our board game group some Illuminati eventually.
We can try that. Jim broke the game, but maybe if we play without Jim, we can try Illuminati.
Yeah. I used to play Illuminati a lot, back in high school. Whatever. I played the crap out of it, and I've been on a long hiatus, and I would like to try it again to see if the reason I stopped playing it is true, which is that it's a great 45-minute long game, and 3 hours later you're still playing it. Because the game, that just happens.
It depends on the players. I think we played with
Well, and it can, not necessarily the players, because they don't have to play to stagnate on purpose. That game can just stagnate. Depending on which groups are in there, especially if you don't have the Assassin's Guild, it's just possible that nobody gets to their victory condition, and you just keep slap fighting each other back and forth, and it just stagnates.
Well, the Assassins will make it last forever, because they'll always...
But eventually, they'll win. I mean, at least that's a hard clock. Because they're going to stop people from winning, and then they'll just win by default. If they're not in it, then just everybody might just never win, and it goes forever.
The one I want to play again that I've only played once is Battlestar Galactica. So when that new expansion comes out,
I'll definitely bring it out soon. Yeah, I definitely want to try out because the new elements. Because it has that element and the other element, new characters which are always fun. It has
new
characters,
characters. Sound exciting. Yeah.
It has the Cylon fleet that could potentially work with the players.
Yeah, I like that the Cylon fleet can play either side,
and it has the mutiny cards. So one player, if you play four or six, they completely throw out the worst mechanic in the game,
the sympathizer.
Sympathizer, and they added a mutiny aspect to the game, which is a really interesting element of the last season of the show.
Yep, that was cool.
The Cylon leaders were a good way to play with an even number of players.
Cylon leaders are okay. I like Cylon leaders. I still love. I can't see playing the game without the Cylon board either. I just love the Cylon board too much. I've played it without the Cylon board. I'm like, why am I playing this game now? My second favorite element of the game is just not happening.
I just will only ever play with New Caprica because that's the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah. God.
See, that was sarcasm.
I know.
That's awful.
I will still say it's just not good.
Katie just got pointed at.
I'm sorry.
Jeff, do you play board games? We've invited.
No, I'm not much of a board game guy.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, and you hear all the spite and malice I'm saying, too?
Yeah, like, you had so much.
Sure, you play this board game.
You had so much venom in your.
We invite you to Borderlands.
I was looking for my Crypto Cavern.
That's
over
more
there.
Of an online kind of thing. Like the game, like if you ever notice, like with my when I'm playing online, it's mostly games I can play myself, or I turn into a werewolf.
Grab my thing over there.
Nice. Your what thing?
I like that.
The Crypto Cavern box. I was looking for that at my house yesterday.
Wow, how fascinating! Everybody listens. It's very.
I know. I want it. It's right there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Hey, everybody! Brian found a thing he was looking for.
I'm excited. I thought I lost it.
All right, moving on.
Recommendations.
No,
it's corny.
Well, you're gonna reverse it. Put her at the end. Surprise everyone.
Stop messing with my microphone.
Katie's corner of the corners.
Oh,
it's my new intro.
Okay.
Wow. Don't ever do that again.
It's
we might put some. We might put some set of the intro. We'll put the intro in.
The intro's in. Already.
So you guys all just heard that we put in.
Maybe they're not hearing this. Maybe they edited this out because now this is awkward.
Katie.
Corners, Katie.
Anywho. I want to talk about, I only played one game this past week, but I wanted to talk about something that lost me the game, which is after I deployed, I didn't take my first turn well. And so I just wanted to emphasize the importance of getting, your models in a good position, especially if there are situations where you're going first and the scenario is winnable in two turns.
Way to distract Katie, Jeremy. She just lost her mental footing.
It's true, I did.
Anyway, sorry. I apologize for him, Katie.
But anyway, what happened is because I didn't move my models up far enough, because in Circle, you want that first strike, so I try and keep him back a little bit. When it came time to contest the zone, I couldn't do it very well until the few models that I had in there were very easy to remove from the zone. And it ended up losing me the game, even though Jeremy was dead to rights. We played each other. Even though he was dead to rights, if I had one more turn, he won in scenario. So what I am hoping to look for from you guys is how do you make sure that you're protecting your models so that you can still get that first strike, but contesting the zone at the same time?
Well, part of that, they refer to your first couple turns as unpacking your army, kind of how you spread across the table. That's kind of the pro term for it, unpacking across the field. And that's something that, that's something where you, and I know Jeremy has told me this, sometimes play a game and all I care about with a new list is my first two turns. Like, where do I put my models? Where do I deploy them? And then how do I do my first two turns? Whether I win or lose a game, I no longer matters. Like, I just want to learn that, okay, this particular army, this model does have to angle to the left because I need to jump into that zone on turn two. Or sometimes I want to put models A, B, and C equal distance forward, so I have three powerful threats I could strike. So if my opponent comes forward and shoots one of them, I still have two things remaining. So a lot of it sometimes is just based on my list. And it also comes about moving your models forward and then being set up for that second turn caster kill, but having the models activate in the right order. Yes. Like if you have to put, like for Scorn, if I for some reason moved my beast handlers in front, like in front of my beasts, or I had like my beasts in the like wrong spot, then I completely screw up my activation of how to move and enrage my beasts in the wrong order. So some of it's, I mean, again, it's sometimes you make a list and you just literally set it down in front of you, and you don't even need an opponent. You just put the models in front of you and you think, okay, this list, I want, these are my three key models that are going to kill them. My stalker is going to possibly be a kill model. Maybe this other model is going to be my model I want to get the assassination with. So when I make this list, I need to make sure that I have my models that are going to buff those models also next to them. Because every so often, if you like trolls and Scorn both have like access to rush, but if we have our rush, if we have a beast we need to rush, but the model that has rush is like 12 inches away or whatever, you can't actually cast it.
Right.
So it's just knowing which, stacking your models next to each other and to prepare yourself for
that. Well, and also you have to think about your order of activation, like even your very first turn. A lot of people out there practice just activating their first turn, like just what's going to be the order you move stuff in and where are they going to go to in general. Because I've seen people, like, their very first action, they'll activate somebody, and they're like, oh, that guy literally can't fit out of my deployment zone because there's stuff in his way.
Yep.
Like, there's no excuse for that.
Or, like, you'll activate a unit, and you'll spread them way out because you want your unit spread out, and they were the first thing you moved, and now you just blocked your whole rest of your list in.
Right.
Like, I've seen that happen, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you didn't leave a gap for any of your heavies to fit through. Congratulations. Right. They're all standing behind your infantry now.
Or now they're all smushed together, so they're just going to shoot an AoE
at you
and hope for a good drift.
Also that.
The other thing, as I'm sitting here thinking that could have saved me the game is I didn't recognize the threat of you winning on the scenario because I did have a heavy in there and you had something that moved my heavy.
Rampager.
and so instead of killing off one of your other heavies, I could have put two heavies in there and you may have killed off one of them and then used Rampager, but I could have saved the game.
It would have taken a lot more work.
Yeah, as opposed to just... because I had a War Beast and then two little units of stone, or two models within a stone unit. And yep. And so it was easy to get it off the table. And so I guess I could have come back from a poor deployment, but because I gave you such an early lead.
Well, something tying in with that, I think, is a lot. You don't want your beast to die, so you tow in. Towing right. in is the thing that people do. You know, you just barely are within the zone, mm-hmm. as far away from your opponent as you can be. But the problem is, and Rampager is the thing that got you here, but you need to be aware of there's some things that towing in is specifically worse against.
Yep.
Like if your opponent has TK, you better be an inch and then some in the zone because they can move you an inch.
They move you 2 inches with TK.
TK is placed within two.
Or within two. Yeah, sorry. Whatever. Sorry. Yeah. Whatever. You get my point. My point is, yeah. Beat back is inch. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if they got Battle Mage, if they got Druids, if they have TK, if they have Rampager, like, you need to be aware of these other things because there's ways to get out of the zone that aren't being killed.
Yep.
And those can be a lot harder to see threats. So those are something to be mindful of. A cool trick with Rampager that I think will be worthless for you, but is super handy for troll players, is to have that beast that you don't want rampagered, just have one of your why am I blanking on their name, the stone guys, the three-man unit.
Oh, Sons of Reg?
No.
Rune Shaper.
Have a Rune Shaper next to him.
If Janice is in the list.
Rune Shaper next to him. Because they'll cast Rampager, it becomes an enemy, and it's immediately force-locked and can't move.
Yep. Also, mm-hmm. what's a big thing to do, if you have a beast, you have a beast in front and the beast in back, arm-locks the beast in front
yep.
of it.
Yep.
So if the beasts are arm-locked, they can't move when it gets yep. Rampager.
Two beasts walking hand-in-hand on the field is handy for Rampager. It's also handy for the Galleon. Because the Galleon can't drag one of them in if it's being arm-locked by a different one.
And you see it less but Malice from Crix, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess that just be mindful of, because it wasn't your beast dying that cost you the game, it was your beast getting out of the zone, and so things like that.
I didn't kill a heavy the whole game.
Yep. I killed four heavies.
You killed three in a turn.
Yep.
Did you go first or second?
I went first.
So I guess the thing is, if you know, like, if you also kind of think, okay, the bottom of turn two, maybe I'm only going to give up. Because if you go, like, if you know your opponent can Rampage or TK, and you put your beasts too far into the zone, they're just going to start potentially slaughtering them. Yeah. So try to at least counterbalance one zone. Like, see where his caster could maybe dominate one way or the other way. And if his caster can only dominate one direction, make sure you can test that zone enough so if he squares the other zone, he's only getting 1 point.
Yeah, from my perspective,
so if you keep him down to a point a turn, then it's not a big deal.
Big mistake she made, and I think this is just like learning and experience sort of a thing, was I was playing P-Vale with four heavies, and on my first turn going second, I moved Vale and all four heavies into the left zone and a unit of Raptors into the right zone, and Katie proceeded to challenge both zones equally on her turn two. I was clearly pushing for just one zone with that list. Like, I telegraphed it all day long because that's just kind of how PVL plays, unfortunately. But and there are other, like, trolls like to do that a lot. Like, the trolls have a brick, a lot of lists, and wherever that brick goes, sure, there's something else sort of pretending to contest the other zone, but that brick is going to one zone.
Well, that's not quite true, because you had two beasts in your caster in one zone, and then the other two beasts could have gone either way. Like, they were in the middle of
the angel is pretty fast, so, yeah.
You had, because it was, because people can see a diagram, but it was...
Watch what Katie's drawing right now, people.
The zone, and you had two beasts in your girl, and then you had two beasts like this. Like
I did have a Ravagor over in the far zone.
And then
had
your little antlers.
So you're full of lies is what you're telling me.
No, but like...
But like, yeah, he was clearly going for one, but yes, he could have very easily
Ravagor
gone over.
My Ravagor was not
going to
kill Getarix.
But I think the point is the other stuff was mostly there to slow down the accumulation of scenario points rather than claim it.
Right.
You know, one less turn where you just sit there and say, I've got the free points. It's like, well, my Ravagor puts his foot in there. You don't get a point that round.
Right.
You know?
And that's all the Ravagor was over there to do. And I mean, he took shots, but...
But either way, so I guess the end of the day, deploy well, practice your deployment, figure out where your things need to be in order to activate appropriately in your first and second turn.
Yep.
And then if you do deploy poorly, be mindful of what that costs you and be able to defend against it, which I didn't do.
Right.
So.
Well, and I mean, she did some things really well. Like, she had a unit of, what are they called, wool shrimp? The little shrimp.
Not actually called that, but yeah.
The baby shrimp.
They're baby shrimp.
They're amazing.
Whatever they are. She had a unit of those guys over two turns just totally take a Scythian off the table.
Yeah,
which I did not expect to have happen. And I mathed it later, and yeah, that happens every time.
They have Ekane's feet always.
Yeah.
Like, that's yeah. what that unit does. They yeah. have Ekane's feet always.
I figured only, what is it, six of them, five of them? Wouldn't it be that bad?
There's five of them per unit, and then a little guy. And well, and the great thing is it's 10-inch range, and so it's really easy for you to be, for them to be near the scenario and just shoot at your guys.
Did they start at POW 10 or
no, they started 12. At
12. They start at 12, yeah. So it totally is Kane's feet.
Yeah.
So and then with Zephyr, they're aiming have a 12-inch range. And so I mean, they're hand cannons to start.
The first turn she only got like 3 or 4 into him and he took a little bit of damage. I was like, "Oh, that's not so bad." And I had the Scythian move up and I didn't actually engage them and they just took the
engaging wouldn't have mattered them anyway.
Well, then they can't combine. Well, they can't do concentration. Yeah,
sure they can because they Zephyr.
No, they get one of the
other. Oh, yeah, they pick one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, they pick one.
So,
still.
Yeah, so
hand cannons will still hurt.
So then I can
still hurt, but
aim at you. So I definitely hit. And
yeah, and then I just, it was like, oh, I can just pick this guy up now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was, there were some things she played really, really well. And but she's right. It hurt her a lot the way she unpacked on the first turn. So
along those lines with unpacking, something I've been bad with my last few games is I've lost a lot of deployment rolls, so I've been going second, so I get to choose table edge, and I've been picking table edge that has, like, woods that my caster can hide in, or, like, an obstruction that I can get cover behind and stuff, and then I go to unpack my army, and it's like, oh my god, I have 4 inches that my army has to fit through. Yeah. So you have to be mindful of the terrain's defensive benefits is easy to look for. You're like, oh my god, I want to hide in this forest, or oh my god, I want this cover, but you need to slow down and think about what that's actually going to do to your maneuverability.
Yeah, Lewis screwed himself the game right after Katie and I played. Lewis, you playing Kallus, going second, picked a side that funnels his entire army right into the middle in process of elimination.
Yeah.
So it funneled his whole army towards neither zone, which was really good for him.
Or you can play Circle and everything just has Pathfinder and you're fine.
That works too.
Legion also plays that game a little bit.
So anyway, that's Katie's corner this time around.
Bada bing.
What an anticlimactic ending.
I know. It's like Great Gatsby.
Did that have an anticlimactic ending?
Well, I mean,
was the movie crap?
It wasn't crap. I mean, it was a lot like the book, and I really enjoyed the book.
See,
but
you're the first person that I've heard that's just like the book. The biggest complaint I've heard is it's so different from the book.
See, I thought, like, I remembered the book differently than the movie,
yeah.
But then when I wikied it afterwards, it seemed
to I think the guys who made the movie
was
must have wikied the wiki. People who made the movie went in the wiki and changed it.
Yeah.
Because from everyone that I saw the forums. By the way, speaking of wiki, I looked this at my Facebook page. It's a map of the world, and it shows you, it lists every unregistered, like, edit and wiki, and it puts a little dot on the map where people are making changes and what they're changing. It's just, like, really, and it's real time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see all these weird edits and changes from all parts of the world and what articles are changing. It's just this bizarre, fascinating thing.
I can watch that.
It's bizarre.
You can just watch it. It's like,
are we on Wikipedia? I'm going to make an entry for us.
For Crippled System?
Yeah.
When I stare at my Facebook page and I watch that page, I'll see unregistered user in Wisconsin.
The worst War Machine Horde podcast, bar none.
Bar none.
That we can put for our
bar none.
You can quote it. You can even reference where the quote came from.
You could.
Yeah.
We'd have a footnote.
By the way, I Googled myself at work the other day.
So
I'm
you
classy.
Wouldn't turn into a werewolf?
Yes.
I did that. I hurt my wrist.
And our logo came up. And then a bunch of other people that I didn't know came up.
Wait, at the top hit was Crippled System?
It wasn't the top. It was like the fourth.
Oh, still not bad. I'll take it.
That was exciting.
There's a lot of Katies out there. Not so many Katie Shays.
Apparently there are.
I would think there's only two.
Don't you have like a sister?
I have a cousin.
A cousin?
I don't
get that face.
He found others.
There's a lot I didn't know about your family. Like, they like the E-Trade baby.
The entire family likes that.
Yeah, that's like their family crest. The E-Trade baby.
Aww.
My family likes
I would say one of his quotes would be your family model, but I don't know any of the baby's quotes because I'm not an
what?
Idiot. There.
Wow, okay. Wow, that is the height of comedic genius. I can see why you love that.
You should be on 101.5 Bob and Tom in the morning with that humor.
And with that, laughing at your own jokes.
Yeah. I always laugh at my own jokes. I find myself hysterical.
Yeah. Somebody's got to laugh.
Thanks, baby. Nice to have my support of my wife.
Oh, I we had a race for it because we knew
we
that was going to be
yeah, good for you guys.
All right, recommendations.
Okay, boss, whatever you say.
Well, it is her Katie's Corner. She can end it when she wants to.
I did end it,
and then we weren't going
anywhere. We were going to make fun of Jeremy. Yeah.
That always happens.
That was not technically on the agenda, to be fair.
We could change that.
I think it was
Mock
on the agenda at the very first,
hat is now
first
on
fucking
the agenda.
Podcast. Make fun of Jeremy.
That's our mission statement.
Yeah.
Podcasting is a second.
Hey, you know,
Nathan,
at least...
Nathan, when you add it into the wiki,
yeah,
just make it our mission statement.
Yeah, that's our mission statement.
You know, at least Crump, occasionally John opens his mouth and inserts his foot all the way down, so he takes a little bit of the flack off. Like, I need some cover over here.
The cover is that I'm creepy and Brian likes vegetables in his butthole.
I'm the one that gets mocked.
Yeah.
That has happened for a very long time.
Yeah.
I've moved on.
He hurt his wrist.
It's my wrist doing it.
My palm, not the wrist. Wrist is fine.
Saying. Number one on the agenda, mock Jeremy. Number two on the agenda, talk
mock
about
Jeremy.
Other things. Yeah. It's like I made a club, the pillow on your head club, because I had a pillow on my head, and I declared that it was a club, because my wife was like, why is a pillow on your head? I'm like, I'm founding a club. And item number one on our agenda was to mock people who weren't in the pillow on your head club. Item number two was to have a pillow on your head. That was less important
than mocking people.
And there's a Loki on the table now.
And a dice on the Loki.
It's a die, you fuckwit.
That's dice.
Yeah, one die, two dice.
One dice, multiple die.
Now there's a die that ricocheted off of you. It's no longer on the Loki. Recommendations, Katie, you said you had one?
No, I just said it was time for them.
Do you have one?
I recommend going to see Star Trek on Thursday.
Yes.
Afternoon.
I'm going to do that too, but I couldn't get a half day because I work like a decent human being. So you guys are going to all go at noon without me.
And then afterwards, we're going to play frisbee golf. Do you want to come?
I'm going to be working.
Oh, that's
wow.
We planned it that way.
Wow. Yeah. Way to rub it in, Katie.
Well, no.
Jeez.
You have sick time?
You really don't get, like, you know.
I used it for
weddings and shit.
You were sick at a wedding?
And Adepticon.
Oh, yeah. Adepticon.
Not sick time. Yeah, I took off a couple days for Adepticon, and then my brother got married twice earlier this month, so I had to go for that.
Yeah, he got married twice. That's true.
You don't have, like, a half day left? Because I'm just taking a half day.
So my team, my department, there's three of us, and one of them... Okay, this is funny as hell. I'm going to tell this anecdote. So I worked in the morning. He's coming into the closing shift. He is only working a half day because he goes to college. And so I was leaving at 4. He starts at 4. So we basically just high five, touch base. I go out. And he said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, because technically you're my supervisor and I should tell you first and everything that I'm going to put in my 2 weeks' notice today. I'm like, that's understandable. This job's awful. So I'm going to leave. I go to punch out, and right before I leave, the manager on duty comes up, and he said, hold on, everybody, I want a quick meeting, because I want to give this plaque to Ryan in celebration of his 5-year anniversary. Everything. And the look on his face, it was like, oh my God, this is going to be so awkward in an hour when I tell him I'm quitting. Like, I've never seen someone more hopelessly just terrified of the situation they'd be put in. It was fucking hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing.
Well, that's pretty good.
And then I left, and then I called the store and asked for that department so I could laugh at him without the manager knowing why I was laughing.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story.
It was a cool story. Thanks for calling me bro. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So is that your recommendation?
Just to get to quit on the day you get your 5-year anniversary?
Yes.
No, my recommendation is Hulk Versus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean the Deadpool movie?
Well, it's two. Hulk Versus, which is actually on Netflix now, which is handy. You know, all these things I recommend I try to have that so that you can just watch it on the Netflix. So it's on the internet, too. It's two little mini-movies. They're each, like, 45 minutes or so long. And it's Hulk Versus Thor. And then the other one is... It's a typo or something because it says Hulk Versus Wolverine, but it's really Hulk Versus Deadpool, and it's the greatest thing ever. Like...
Yeah.
I, with no exaggeration, can say I have never seen a comic book character gotten more correct ever.
Than Deadpool?
Ever. These Batman movies, no. The Supermans, no. Nothing. Nothing has been as perfect as this depiction of Deadpool. It's amazing.
Hmm.
It's actually, both of them are really good.
They're both good. The Thor one's good, too.
Yeah.
I watched it before the Avengers movies and stuff, and so now seeing these new Thor movies, I'm a little, okay, Thor, I got a little more love for him. At the time when I watched Hulk Versus, I didn't give two shits about Thor. So maybe if I watch it again now, I'd like the Thor half of it better, but Deadpool was goddamn amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you like Deadpool and you didn't realize how good, if you didn't know Hulk Versus was something that involved Deadpool, and you're excited about the Deadpool game, you're excited about the Deadpool movie and all that stuff, just watch Hulk Versus. It's astounding. Deadpool running around shooting people and actually making gun noises while shooting just because he's having fun. He's just going bang, 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 bang while shooting people. Yeah. Brilliant, perfect, everything, wonderful.
You know, I really thought they nailed Deadpool's character in the Wolverine movie.
For 45 seconds, that character was amazing.
Yeah. It really was. It's very similar to Stallone's Judge Dredd. The first 15 minutes of that movie is pretty good.
Is it also the opening scene?
It's pretty much, yeah.
Although there only was 45 seconds of Deadpool in the Wolverine movie. They literally had the character on there for, like, 5 minutes, and then he was gone. He never came back, even. So, shut up. I will fucking kill you.
I really thought it was his depiction at the end of the movie where they really nailed it.
I don't remember Deadpool being at the end of the movie.
You're going to be shot in the head with an adamantium bullet?
Should I?
God, that movie was so bad.
How do they even know that the bullet is going to go? This bullet will probably have amnesia. They don't give it to the marksman.
Twice in my life, I have stood up in a movie theater, not consciously, I just recoiled in horror at what was on the screen and shouted out my confusion. The one being Return of the King, when the elephants are trampling towards him and Theoden tells them all to get closer together in defense of this elephant trampling, and I stood up and went, no! Because you don't do that? Like, this wide swath of death is coming towards you, you might spread out a little, you don't form ranks.
They spread out fine.
So I literally stood up and went, no! In the theater, and then I had to sit down and feel ashamed of myself. And the same one in Wolverine, they send this sniper off to kill Wolverine.
Right.
The guy who's deadly accurate with handguns.
Perfectly, boom, deadly accurate with handguns.
Yeah, that's his magic power.
He shoots him, sure hits him, but he's Wolverine, so it doesn't matter, metal skeleton, everything. So Wolverine kills him. Then they cut back to the villain who's holding this box of bullets and says, he never stood a chance because he didn't have these. And I stood up and said, well, why not? Why didn't he have them? You're holding them? Why didn't you give them to him? Give me one fucking reason, movie.
Yeah, the movie would have been incredibly short.
Damn it. Or, even just don't do that. Be like, oh, wow, he sure got killed. Maybe we should invent magic bullets. Like, don't have them already.
Yeah. And when you're making a bullet, how do you know?
Maybe they're a prototype.
How many dents in the bullet do you have to make when making the magic bullets? Say, oh, this bullet here will cause amnesia.
Yeah.
How do you craft that weapon?
Yeah. And movie also had a shot that was so bad I thought they had introduced a new character. And it took me 10 minutes to figure out that they had not introduced a new character.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is an alley fight and Gambit's there and Gambit gets knocked unconscious. Yep. Then about 10 seconds later, somebody jumps off of the top of a building a half a block away to attack somebody with a bow staff.
Yeah.
So in 30 seconds, Gambit had woken up, gone a block down, climbed up on top of a building, found a bow staff, and then jumped down to attack somebody. Yeah. I just thought it was a new fucking character.
I will say that the video game based on the movie is amazing.
Yes.
Wolverine
was actually in development before the movie was.
And that game is amazing. It's so violent and fun. It's what the hell is happening?
No, that is legitimately a very good game.
It's Xbox, PS3.
They were talking about
Deadpool.
Which one's Deadpool?
Deadpool's the one that at the end of the movie.
No, fuck you. Do you see the X-Men Origins Ryan Wolverine?
Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, like the guy with the knife that's all goofy, hilarious, talky, but also super awesome.
And then at the end of the movie, they take away his ability to speak.
That's pretty funny.
I will demonstrate on Jeremy what I'm going to do to Jordan later in the week.
You see the brain tumor forming.
Oh, God. And then a side note, I'm throwing this out there. Jim and I are in agreement on this. I'll say it for Jim. As long as we're talking about Deadpool. The Deadpool movie, he needs to talk to the audience a la Wayne's World for that movie to be correct.
Yeah. Lord, he breaks the fourth
wall. He needs to. Like, the movie, whoever makes this movie needs to know. Because one of Deadpool's superpowers in the comics, his official canonical superpower, he has two of them. One, healing factor like Wolverine. Yep. Two, he knows that he's in a comic book. That's actually one of his superpowers. It's fourth wall awareness. He reads people's thought bubbles, the narrator box. He has conversations with it. Like, he knows he's in a comic book, and this is a superpower he has. So the movie, they need to legitimately have him, turn to the camera and talk to the audience. Because it's awesome!
Okay.
What do you mean, what good is it?
He gets brilliant one-liners because of it.
He's the plucky comic relief.
Okay.
It comes in handy. He legit uses it. The narrator box will be meanwhile, in the evil villain's lair on the South Docks, he's like, oh, South Docks, okay, I'll go there then, because he read it.
This sounds like, have you ever watched Fairly Oddparents?
Yeah.
When he goes into the comic book and then he like reads the things?
Yeah, it's exactly that. Deadpool has that power. He also saved the universe by kicking Captain America in the balls once. They Rochambeau'd. Yeah, like Captain America's possessed by a demon. He's like, I'm going to destroy the universe. And like Deadpool's like, Rochambeau you for it. And he just kicked him in the balls. And it's the center page of the comic, just open, two-page spread, just Deadpool shin deep in Captain America's crotch saying, Rochambeau.
That's happened before already.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this was years ago.
Something like that happened much before that, and DC did it first.
Yeah.
With Lobo kicking Superman in the balls.
Did he save the universe? It's a ball kick, I'll grant you that.
It's Superman.
Okay, that's true.
It's something universal involved in there.
Well, Superman has it coming, so.
Lobo's just a ripoff of Daredevil.
Was he blind?
I was throwing it off the side there. I was a little bit to the left.
Oh, also, no, Lobo is freaking awesome.
Well, and Daredevil's not. So I was
the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game. Like there were like 80 characters in those. You could play as any of them. I literally have never ever played as a character other than Deadpool. Like, why would you bother doing that?
Lines.
He's so great. Like, he levels up, and he's like, now I'm even better doing whatever Wolverine does. Like, he's
got,
I'm low on energy, but high in vitamin C. Yes! Low on energy, but high in vitamin C. God, I love you.
Now I can do everything that Wolverine does.
Even better. There you go. Right, right.
Well, I think the second one, all of his abilities have an exclamation point after it.
Yes.
And some of them have multiples, so I can tell how good they are.
Yep. It's so fun. Like, because he's just fun. Like, yeah. It's just fun. And you know, like, it's nice to have, like, the darker comics, like the Watchmen's and the Dark Knight Returns sometimes. Yeah. But on the other hand, like, when it's Deadpool and Lady Deadpool and the Dog Deadpool and Headpool, which is a zombie head version of him that flies around with a propeller beanie cap, they're the Deadpool Brigade and they fight. It's just so fun. Like, Deadpool and Lady Deadpool's from an alternate universe, and they totally sleep with each other because they both know that Deadpool's the coolest person on the planet. So if they can sleep with an alternate gender version of themselves, why not? They got no problems with that.
Have you seen the trailer for the video game?
I have, yes.
Yes.
So excited.
Looks amazing. Hopefully it's not aliens.
Yeah.
So Hulk versus. There's my recommendation.
Yep. There you go.
We sidestepped a little bit, but that's all right.
I second that recommendation, but I'm not making it my recommendation this week.
My recommendation is people should come on Thursday to go see Star Trek and play disc golf with us.
Wow. Tell you what, after you see Star Trek and then go disc golfing, you can go see Star Trek again with me.
If it's that good, I might.
Yes. But I may tell you details about the movie before it happens.
Yeah, yeah, right before it happens. No, don't do that.
Oh, there's a Loki on my lap now. Hi, Loki.
He's saying hi to everybody.
Yeah, I like you.
Andy, you got a recommendation while I molest your cat here?
Does Brian have a real one? Or is he
no, that's a recommendation.
Star Trek.
Star Trek and go see, yeah. Actually, it's like, hopefully it's good.
I know if I have recommended this, we should actually keep some kind of poster or something there so you make sure we don't.
Thread.
Haven't updated recently. I pulled it up on my smartphone to make sure I hadn't recommended Hulk versus.
I've been updating it.
People have been adding threads. I haven't updated the main thread yet, the main post yet.
My new recommendation is Batman.
Which one?
Both Batmans.
Batman Begins, Batman and Robin?
The Dark Knight Returns, part one and part two.
Okay.
The animated version of them.
Oh, okay.
Dark Knight Returns.
Yep, the Dark Knight Returns. It's basically just part one, part two, available on Blu-ray. It is really awesome.
Sweet.
It's almost page for page direct pulled from the actual graphic novel.
Nice.
It's one of the few things that Frank Miller has done that's actually stood up since that point.
Well, everything he's done before, like, Frank Miller did good stuff, and then he went insane one day, and so now everything he does is utter shit.
And then he made, like, RoboCop 2, RoboCop 3. Of course, RoboCop 2 is pretty cool, but RoboCop 3 is pretty...
Frank Miller was good.
Fu RoboCop.
Ninjas fighting RoboCop as he flies around on a jetpack.
That's what I always wanted.
But the Batman Dark Knight Returns, it's, you know, easily celebrated as the book of Batman. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it reinvented the character, brought him back to the limelight. Yeah. The dark version that we take for granted now, like, was cemented by that.
Yeah, you know, like, the Batman, basically the whole Tim Burton Batman was really derived from that style.
Right.
You know, him just dark.
Because it had gone it had kind of lost its way. Like, it was even not just, like, good-natured, wacky fun, like the Adam West style stuff. Like, the Batman comics were really languishing. Like, the Joker was literally just a goofy guy that walked around and hit people with pies. Like, it just wasn't there. And then Dark Knight Returns said, no, it's going to be brutal now. Deal with it.
it's worth it. Even if you've never read the graphic novel, I'd almost recommend just watching it anyway without reading the graphic novel.
Oh, it's legit on its own 2 feet, yeah.
So that's my recommendation. Go watch Batman Dark Knight Returns.
Jeff?
I didn't put much thought into it until he started the conversation, so I'm going to go with an old mainstay. I recommend people play an old game called Bayonetta.
Yes!
Yes!
Speaking of guilty fun pleasures that don't take themselves seriously.
No, that game is like brilliant on levels it's hard to describe. It's just, you can get it super cheap now. It's like 10 or 15 bucks if you go for a used copy.
What kind of system?
PS3 and the 360. Yep. There might be a PC version available, but you really want a controller for this one.
Yeah,
I agree. Bayonetta?
Bayonetta. All right, don't
it's
let
like
cover
sexy librarian with God of War.
Yeah, like yes. the protagonist is like 6 foot tall and like five of that is leg.
Yep.
And then the other
with
like
great boobs.
Yeah, no. The remaining like foot is, you know,
6 foot tall, 4 of it is leg, 1 foot of it is her high heeled shoes that are also guns.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Since my palm hurts, I can't get the game because it'd be hard to use a controller.
They have a one handed gameplay mode. I kid you not.
They honestly have one handed gameplay mode because
but
they knew.
My important hand is the one that's currently injured.
Don't matter. They got him over. You just mash the X button and you win.
You can do. You could use your foot for that. Like you literally could just stomp on the controller in one-handed gameplay mode. And
I don't think it was the controller hand he was worried about.
Yeah, right. You could just get some Jergens. No,
just get one of those dipping birds. You're fine. You know, like the ones that drink from the water.
Is that for the controller? Or is that for werewolf prevention?
Both. Maybe both. Okay. Get two.
That's not. I'm saying I have control holding a problem for the my palm, not for any other reason.
Right.
Right. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gun high-heeled shoes, like the better her magical power is her hair. She uses her hair as a weapon. She's technically naked, but her hair looks like a clothing.
A hair suit has never looked so sexy,
the,
you know?
The longer combo you do, the more hair she's using for her fighting, so the less hair is covering her body, so the better you are at the game, the more naked she gets.
Yes.
That's the kind of game they designed.
And the entire way through, she is doing absolutely ridiculous things. There's a spot in time when like missiles are firing at her. She like lassos one, turns it around, and rides the missile back to the city, Panzer Dragoon style.
Yeah.
There's a separate part where you're riding a motorcycle up a rocket going into space, and I need to go back and play it again.
It's so schlocky fun. It's,
and the controls are actually really good. It plays well. So,
it does, unless you're in one-handed mode.
So it's like like that Lollipop Chainsaw, but good.
Oh, it's way better than Lollipop Chainsaw.
But it's that same, if Lollipop Chainsaw didn't suck as an actual game, it's that kind of thing. Because it is the bubblegum, like, over-the-top sexualization, but in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Yeah, like, they know what they're doing. And
but it's also legitimately one of my favorite God of War-style combat games.
Yeah. It's good.
Good stuff. So, Bayonetta.
Well, we know, Jeremy, we know.
That's what Kay's going to go as for Halloween, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I have a Bayonetta costume you could borrow, because that's what I cosplayed as at the last Gen Con.
Oh.
See, your beard just covered your whole face.
Yeah.
Beard extension.
Yeah, I fought with my beard. It was part of my hair power.
That's terrible. All right.
It wasn't all beard, was it?
I don't know what that meant.
My recommendation, actually, I'm shocked, but according to the thread, we haven't recommended it yet, is Seven Wonders, which we played the crap out of yesterday and have played many other times as well. I know Jim hates it, so Jim not being here is a good time to bring it up, because Jim would tell me it's horrible and bad and terrible.
He didn't like Kalos either, which made me sad.
I think Brian mentioned that.
I thought he did, but I just looked.
He might have mentioned it, but we didn't actually recommend it.
Recommendation.
He may not have recommended it.
We probably
I only list the actual recommendations.
We played it for 10 hours Wormish Weekend, so we talked about it in the podcast.
Yeah, we did talk about it. So anyway, it's a great game. It's really fun. Multiple victory conditions. The one thing I always tell people, and this stood true
yesterday. No, there's one victory condition, multiple. The victory condition is most points. There's
multiple paths to getting victory points. And I always tell people that the most powerful one and the easiest one to stop is tech.
Yeah,
and I won with tech yesterday because it is. And then the second game, Brian tied me with tech. I went like the completely non-tech route. Brian had no points in anything except tech and tied me for first.
Well, I had a leader who gave it for every. I had all the three of everything for science, and I had a leader with science, and I had a leader that said for every science card get a point. So
I think tech is kind of like to Seven Wonders as masks are in Deceptor,
where
if somebody gets all of them, they just win.
Yep.
So the balancing factors the other players need to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, I tried to,
and
but
Katie
he
tried.
Kept,
Katie went a pretty hard tech actually,
but he kept buying all the tech before he gave it to me.
Yeah. Katie was buying, like, the thing is you switch which way you're passing, and when it was passing through Katie and me, he wasn't
getting
any.
Speaking of passing, let's actually mention what this is.
Okay,
the game is predominantly a drafting game.
It's, yeah, it's, it, well, you,
Yeah. That's all it is drafting.
So literally, the way it works is each age, which is kind of a phase, and there's three ages, you pick up your hand at eight cards, well, eight when you're playing five players, which we've decided is kind of a really good number to play at.
Thanks for these details. They matter.
Anyway, you pick a card, you play it. If you have the resources to play it, you play it. Otherwise, you can just slough it off. And then you pass to your right or your left, and it varies whether you're passing right or left via the ages. So when it was passing between me and me, then Katie, and then Brian got very little tech. And when it was going the other direction, we were playing with one person who played it once and one person who played it never. And Brian got all of the tech.
Yeah. Nice.
So
I like tech.
That happened.
Pick up his hand. No, look, tech. Pick up next hand. Oh, look, more tech.
Yeah.
Well, and there was one that Brian was like, oh, you're going to really love this card. And so he gave it to me and I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that was pretty
It would have been really good. It was like
I
one point
won
per
the game.
Thing that he had.
One of my abilities was copy a card from the person to my left to the right, but neither one had a card I could copy. If I could have copied one card for just one melee point, I would have won the game.
It's true.
Wow. But Katie was doing so bad that she did good the first
she
game.
She did really good the first game.
Way to go, Katie.
So
cost Brian the game because
yeah, if
you suck.
Yeah, if she would have been competent, I would have won.
I'm competent when Brian isn't making sure I'm doing
I passed her two good cards, which she couldn't afford either one. I'm like, oh, great, she'll play it, I'll win.
Yeah.
She'll play it, I'll win.
No.
I'm too broke.
No.
I'll give you money.
So, yeah, I really like the game. I'm probably a little biased because I win a lot, but I really, really, really like Seven Wonders. I think it's really fun, and I highly recommend it.
And it's very quick and light and easy to play.
Especially when, because there's variations of setup for the number of players and stuff, when you first sit down to play it with a given number of players, it takes a minute to get everything all set up. But then once you do, you can play it like eight times in a row, just bing, bang, boom, like 30, 45 minutes.
Well, between each game, you swap out a couple cards, but
yeah.
It's not
predominantly, you just reshuffle, redeal, and do
pretty much.
Well, you want the variety of all
well,
the
yeah,
things.
Apart from the swapping in, correct. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
so
it's really not bad.
It's a half an hour a game.
Yeah.
Like I said, we played it for almost 10 hours War Machine weekend.
It's probably a half hour to 45 minutes a game, 15 minutes for scoring, depending on how many people you have to count up all their scores.
Never allow Beanish to do the scoring.
Oh, my God. No
he
kidding.
He is the worst person in the world.
I think it took him a half hour. Oh, my
and
God.
And he had an app on his phone. That was where it all fell apart.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. But anyway, super highly enjoyable, and I would recommend all of the expansions. We play with all of them, and they're all good. Like, I think they're good individually, and I think they're good as a combination of each other.
Cool.
So.
All right.
Well, that's that.
Good podcast.
I'd like to thank Jeff for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Jeff.
Because if he wasn't here, Jim would have been. And we don't want that. He would have poo-pooed on Seven Wonders and all that negative Nancy.
Your Kalos game was really boring and
Kalos
dumb.
Is the best ever, and he would have been mean to it. I didn't even recommend it. When we get some more plays of Kalos in my belt,
I haven't played it yet. So.
Well, we can go play it now.
I have to be somewhere.
No, because we're going to watch Game of Thrones.
Except I'm going to Jordan's to watch Game of Thrones.
Fuck you.
Jordan asked us.
Yeah.
Oh, why? It was tradition. We do this and then we watch.
Technically,
you have
it was
so
tradition.
Many traditions.
You know what? I don't even want to talk to you anymore. We should just end the podcast.
You know? Get
you out
of
this
house.
Goodbye,
so.
Yeah.
We haven't actually ended on everyone saying goodbye and then
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, anyway,
bye.
Bye. Sandy, I'm cutting out.
So long. Farewell.
Oh, Avita, say
goodbye.
Goodnight.
Bye. Goodbye. Love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You went a whole podcast and Nathan didn't talk a
country. Oh! Nathan forgot to insult the country.